chapter 6, reading from verses 9 to 13. There we go. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
All right. We're going to start our kids' talk today by asking a question, and the question is, what did dads do? What did dads do? Someone said not much over here. That's some dads don't do much, sure. If you look around, if you think about dads or dad figures in your life, so maybe granddads, uncles, but also dads you might see in around you in society or maybe in a movie, what did dads do? What's their job? What do they do? What did dads do? Pop says fix things. Pops fixes things. Maybe some grown-ups might like to share. What sort of things did dads do? Play golf. What was that? Yep. Take care of you. Absolutely. They take care of you. Why do they take care of us? Because they love us. So dads love us. They take care of us. They protect us. They're strong. What else? Yeah. Anyone else? Well, I know that my dad loves to have people talk to him and he loves to talk to them as well. That's something that my dad likes. And I think, is there anything else? No? All right. Well, I'm going to jump into today's story from the Bible passage we read just now. The verses that we just read in the story before that prayer happens, Jesus is talking to his friends and he's telling them, this is how you can talk to God. This is how you should talk to God. And he starts with two very special words. He says, our Father. Our Father. What's a father? A dad. Exactly right. Jesus is telling his friends that when they talk to God, they can say, they should say, our Father. Dad. What? Our Heavenly Father is, I lost my spot. What was I going to say? Yes. All right. Jesus is telling his friends that when they talk to God, they can address him as dad. And not just any old dad. You know, I'm sure we all have seen dads do good and bad things in our lives. But this isn't any old dad. This is our heavenly dad. He is our perfect dad. And all those good things that dads do, God does the best. If dads are supposed to care for us, then our heavenly Father cares for us more than we can imagine. If our earthly dads are strong, our heavenly Father is the strongest. He is the kindest. If our earthly dads are supposed to love us, then our heavenly Father, well, he is love himself. When we talk to God, we are talking to our heavenly Father, and he wants us to come and talk to him because he loves us, because he cares for us. So when we pray, and we're going to pray in a moment, let's think about the fact that the God we're praying to isn't some far-off God. He's our Father who loves us and is with us always. Let's pray. Dear God, you are our Heavenly Father. Thank you so much that you love us and care for us. Thank you so much that you are strong and kind. Thank you that you are with us always. We pray, God, that we would turn to you always in the good and the bad. Help us to remember that we can come to you at any time, in any place. We can give you any prayer because you are our loving Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I don't think there's kids' church today, so we'll just go back to our spots and I'll hand over to Jared.
Morning, everyone. I'm Jared, pastor here at Highwickham Church. Wonderful to have you with us this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you that we can come before you and be encouraged in our faith in you and our walk with you. We thank you that you are indeed our loving and good Father who cares deeply about us, who longs and desires to bless us and to lead us in the way everlasting in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you so much, Lord God, that you sent your Spirit who's with us now and always. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work in our lives. Thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that even though our own experience of having a dad or not really having a dad around could cloud our judgment as to what we think it means to have a father, we thank you that you are the perfect Heavenly Father, that you are the Father we can count on. You are the Father who loves us. You are the Father who gives us all things. And you are the Father who gave us your Son, that we might come to become your children too. So we thank you, Lord, for these abundant blessings, and we pray that you would lift our minds to you, lift our hearts to you, give us great understanding and clarity as we study the Lord's Prayer, both now and in the coming weeks. But Lord, we also ask that you would cause these things to take root in our hearts, that we would not just know more stuff, but that we would know you more in a personal, intimate way, and that we would walk more closely with you, that we would enjoy the life we have in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you in his name. Amen. So we're starting a series on the Lord's Prayer. So we are in Matthew chapter 6. So if you have that, that would be helpful to have that open. But yeah, we're going pretty deep into the Lord's Prayer because I think that's the right way to do it. There's so much in there. I think it was Augustine who said something along the lines of all the other prayers in the Bible are kind of contained or wrapped up in the Lord's Prayer because it's so broad in how it addresses so many different aspects of what Jesus is calling us to pray. Today we're going to be looking at our Father. So I thought we'd start by talking about fathers. What do you think of when you think of a father or your dad? Maybe for some of us, we didn't really have a dad around when we were growing up, and that's hard, whether that's because they left or because they passed away or various other reasons. Those are really hard things, and I feel for anyone who's in that situation. If you want to talk about that, if you like prayer for that, please come and talk to us. We'd love to uphold one another in prayer. Maybe you did have your dad around, but it was a hard time. Maybe you found your dad to be quite harsh and you struggled growing up, or maybe you felt discouraged from your dad. Maybe you had a dad who'd kind of checked out, who wasn't really interested in being around, and that's also very, very difficult. Or a cruel dad. And there are lots of bad examples of what it's like to be a dad, aren't there? We can have those bad examples in our minds, but I also want us to draw our attention to the examples of dads that show us the love of God. Like there are wonderful examples of dads in our lives. I think of my own dad, who show us love and kindness, who point us to the Lord Jesus, who want us to be built up in our faith in him, and who are there for us. Now, it doesn't always mean it's easy. You know, I gave my dad a hard time at times. Yeah, you can ask him about that. but there is a beauty in the depth of that relationship, that you actually have someone who has fathered you, and that's a beautiful thing. And God, in his amazing love, reveals himself to be the Father, the eternal Father of the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he includes us in that relationship, which is astonishing. So what I want to talk about today is both the depth, that's point one, and the breadth of our relationship with our Father. So the depth and the breadth. And the depth, we're thinking about Father. We're just going to think about what it means for God to be our Father and for us to be his children. That's the first thing. The second thing we're thinking about is the breadth. So that's the our bit, thinking about how actually it's not just me, but it's all of us together in Christ who are calling on God as Father. So thinking depth, so we're going to do a deep dive into what it means for God to be Father, and then we're going to think about breadth. We're going to think about what does it mean for him to be not only my father, but our father? And I think that's really, really helpful. So let's begin by looking at father in terms of the depth of the relationship. So I had a few words as I was looking at this that came into my mind that all started with sort of ad, that sort of sound. So there's the first one, I'll explain this in a second, but I'll just give you the three. We've got audacity, address, and adopted. Now, so if you want to remember those, that could be helpful. But let's start by talking about audacity. Now, audacity is not something that we usually think of in a positive way. I'll give you an example. I remember being on holiday with my family and the waiter spilt Coke on my mum, on her dress. And then when they brought out the bill, they charged us not only for the Coke that he'd spilt on my mum and on the table, but also the replacement Coke that they brought out. Now, that is an example of something audacious, is that you think, wow, like really? Like that, the audacity to go, not only am I going to spill Coke all over you, I'm going to charge you for it, and I'm going to charge you for the one I bring to replace the one I spilt on you. Anyway, that's, you can ask my parents about that. That happened. So that's an example of audacity. Often when we think of audacity, we think negative, don't we? Because we think, oh, the audacity, you know, somebody does something and we're up in arms. We think, how dare they, you know, like that sort of, that really like feeling of injustice that rises up within us that we think, like something needs to be sorted out here because that's not just, right? Now, why am I using the word audacity when I'm talking about this? I'm using it because it's a remarkably bold thing for us to call God Father. Think about that for a minute. We're talking about the almighty creator of heaven and earth, the ruler over all things, all time, all space, the one true God. For us to call him Dad is an incredibly bold thing to do. I mean, like, it is astonishing. Without Jesus giving us this command, and without the other verses in the Bible testifying to the reality that we can call him Father, we wouldn't dream of doing that. Now, this is God himself, the almighty God, the one who made everything, who rules over everything, who dwells in unapproachable light, who is blazingly holy, 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 holy. And we think, he's inviting us to call him Dad, Father. Now, that's why I used the word audacity, because the shocking thing is that he's saying, call me Father. Whatever relationships we have with our dads or lack thereof, God is calling us to himself and saying, call me Father. And he's saying, be my children in Christ Jesus. That is an astonishing thing. When you think about many of the Jews today, when they read the Bible and the Old Testament, they won't even pronounce God's name. They don't even want to say God's name for fear of blaspheming. There's a reverence and a respect, but also a sort of fear that they don't even want to say his name. And yet, the true God, he's calling us to call him Father. He's saying, call me Dad. You can read about us getting to call him Abba Father in other parts of the scriptures as well. What a beautiful invitation that is. So yes, if we had just come up with that, that would be incredibly audacious, infinitely audacious. But Jesus calls us to come with boldness and call on our Heavenly Father, to start the Lord's Prayer with our Father. I mean, how many people of us are very familiar with the idea of this Lord's Prayer? I mean, many of us, you know, we would have said it growing up. It's something that we just have as sort of second nature. You know, it's like when you learn how to drive a manual car and it's just stuck in there. And, you know, you come back to it and sure, you know, it might a little bit, but it's still in there. Like you just get used to it, right? Like there's a way in which that becomes a part of the way in which you think. And I think for us, this can become so familiar that by the time we've taken notice, we're already on daily bread. or maybe we're just looking at if you forgive others their trespasses, and you know, we've missed the whole prayer. But our Father, what an astonishing thing for God to call us into. What an amazing invitation from our God to call upon him as our Father. What a deep relationship that is. So the address there, we are invited to call him Father. This isn't something that I came up with. It's not something you came up with. It's something that God himself has revealed to us. He's the eternal Father. Remember, he's the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's always been the Father, and now he invites us to call him Father. The address there. And so, astonishing grace. And the only reason that makes sense is because we've been adopted in Christ. You see, it's not just like God saying, hey, you know, you can call me Father, even though I'm not really your father. It's not like he's just saying, address me as Father, but, you know, it's not real. Sort of like when you have, you know, friends and you like, so, you know, you've got friends and then your kids get to know those friends and they call them Uncle so-and-so and Auntie so-and-so. It's not that they don't have a genuine relationship, but they're not actually like uncles and aunties in that technical sense. But God here, when he invites us to address him as Father, isn't saying, hey, just, you know, use that name as a kind of like thing when someone, you call someone uncle or auntie. No, he's saying, and call me Father because I really am your Father in Christ Jesus. That because we've been adopted in Christ, we can call on God himself as our Father. So you might remember Tom preaching last weekend when he spoke about that verse at the beginning of John's gospel, that he gives, God gives the right for all those who receive Jesus and believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. And what does it mean if you're adopted as a child of God? It means that God is your Father. So this is not some kind of like, oh, just call me Dad, but I'm not really your dad. No, it's call me Father because I've adopted you as my own. I've taken you in. And that shows a real intent, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes when dads are around, they've fathered a child and disappeared. God is our Father who intentionally wants to bring us into relationship with him in Christ Jesus. He desires to have you in relationship with him. He is all loving and so gracious, isn't he? And so this isn't merely a pleasantry. This is a truth. God has adopted us in Christ Jesus. Now, when we think about this relationship that we have with our Father, think about what do fathers do. I mean, yeah, there's been a few references to country music already. I won't get stuck in the weeds, but there's just so many good songs in country music. I just want to take a moment to defend that. Lots of them about fathers, and you know, I could give you a whole list of songs. But anyway, the depth of those relationships, really, you get so many beautiful depictions of that. And one of them a few things that I just want to talk about. What does it mean to have a father? I want us to think about a loving father, a loving dad. What does a loving dad do? One of the things a loving dad does is to provide for his family. Not to shirk that responsibility, but to do whatever it takes to make sure that you've given your family somewhere safe and somewhere they can have food and shelter and water. There's a provision aspect to fatherhood. And where do we see that most perfectly? In God, that he is our heavenly Father who provides for our needs in the most ultimate sense. He provides for our physical needs, absolutely, but not only that, but all of our needs, our spiritual needs. And when you look at like later on in Matthew 6 and talks about I had it in my mind and then I flipped the page and I started seeing words. I confused myself. Where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. To seek God first, and all of these things will be added to you, shows us the order of that provision. He is so gracious in providing for our needs. We don't need to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. God will take care of that stuff. What our focus is to be is to pursue Him and His righteousness, knowing that we can trust the provision to Him. If you think about a relationship between child and their dad, if the dad is doing his job in providing for his family, the child doesn't have to worry about, you know, hey, dad, are you doing your thing in you know, going to work because we need to eat and we need you to provide shelter for us. No, they can just trust the dad and know that he's going to handle that. And who's the ultimate father we can trust? God, to provide for our needs, not merely physical, although he does that, but all of our ultimate needs are met in him. Relational, the spiritual, everything is met in our one true God, whom we get to call Father. Thinking about provision, protection as well. I don't know, yeah, about you, but like when I became a dad, I think I thought more about protection than I had before. And you're thinking about these little ones who you're looking out for. And everything's crazy and, you know, you've got matchsticks in your eyes and all this sort of thing. But there's a dynamic there of, this is my child. I'll do anything to protect them in the same way that you do that for your wife, you know, as a husband. And you're looking at these little ones and you're thinking, I will die to protect you. I love you. I want to make sure that you're okay. And so when people threaten your kids, or, you know, there's a thing, we were at Les Murdy Falls yesterday, no, the day before, and someone was throwing rocks down the side of the thing. I don't think they could see the path. And I was like, hey, stop, don't throw rocks. Yeah, so you get the idea. And they stopped, which is good. But it's like that's what dads do, like to stand up for your kids, to protect your kids. And God does that for us perfectly. He's there to protect us. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through hardship, but it does mean that he's there with us through it. And, you know, you might have this experience with your own dad. You might not, but you might, where you're going through hardship and you go, hey, I want to chat to my dad about it. I mean, yeah. When I have questions, I talk to my dad and I also talk to my heavenly dad. But yeah, but it's a beautiful thing that God has given us, that dynamic of fathers looking out for their kids. And finally, I want to talk about, in this context of the depth of the relationship, is discipline. Now, when I was a kid, and I mean, like the Bible talks about this, we don't enjoy discipline when we go through it. There's a whole story about my dad's pump for his tires and all the rest of it that he thought I broke. I didn't think I broke it. Anyway, that's a whole thing. Maybe I should just get you a new pump. That's probably probably a good idea. Anyway, sorry about that. Where was I going with this? Discipline. You know, when you get disciplined, and you know, our context of that is often when we think about as a kid, we don't like it, do we? No, yeah, we don't like it. But yeah, when I discipline my kids, they don't like it. You know, it's not just them. It was me. I didn't like it either. None of us do, in the moment. But then later we look back and we go, oh, that's why you did that. Like, I find myself so many times going, I'm just like my dad. you're like, oh, like, yeah, it's just funny. You realize the way in which God has made us and designed us. But discipline done in love is actually something that's a good thing. It's something that helps shape and fashion us more into the image of Christ. And it's done from a grace perspective. It's not done from a, you know, be better. It's done from God's love has flown down to you in Christ. Let that love keep flowing. And so as we think about fathers disciplining their kids, absolutely it can be done horribly and wrongly, and that's not at all what I'm talking about here. But loving discipline shows a depth of a relationship that comes from a desire to see your kids live in the love of the Lord Jesus and thrive. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So let's just take a step back and think about that again. The depth of relationship that God is inviting us into is one that is absolutely extraordinary. I mean, we can't completely fathom it. It just goes beyond our comprehension, the reality that the Almighty God wants us to call him Dad. Not just because, you know, it's a pleasantry, no, but because it's really real in the Lord Jesus. That Jesus calls Father, our Heavenly Father, Father. We are in Jesus, those of us who've been made alive together in him. And so because we are in Christ, united to Jesus, God is our Father too. We are one with the Son, so we call the Father our Father. And we have his Spirit in us that we can call out to him, Abba Father. That's what we read later in the scriptures as well. So thinking about the depth of relationship, what a gracious thing for God to do that for us. So as we think about applying that, let's embrace that depth of relationship. Let's not let it scare us to the point of not wanting to pursue that relationship, but let's also not be blasé about it and forget how shocking and amazing it is that God is calling us to call him Father. Let's realize how awesome and wonderful that is. And then let's pray that we will have gratitude for his provision, his protection, and even his discipline, that as he shapes and fashions us into Christ, we'll be filled with hearts of thankfulness. That's thinking about God as Father, the depth we have. Now thinking about our Father, the breadth of relationship we have with him. God is my Father, but he's not only my Father, he's our Father. Yeah, there's a you see, I thank my God in all of these things and so on. There is a legitimate sense in which we can call upon God as my God, my Father, absolutely. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus, when he teaches us to pray, he teaches us to pray our Father. Now, we live in a very individualized world. We live in a world that thinks it's all about me and, you know, whatever I want, whatever I want to go, however I want to live my life. We think far less collectively and corporately than pretty much the rest of the world and the rest of time. We have a very individualized society where it's about me and what I want. And so we might even miss the hour and the significance of that. And I think I definitely have. But the emphasis there being on the collective calling upon God as Father is really beautiful. Because when you think about us all having the same Father, what does that make us? Brothers and sisters. And so when we are calling upon God as Father, when we're praying, Jesus is calling us in this collective unity where we get to call upon him as our Father. There's unity there, not singularity. Yes, he is my Father, but more than that, he's our Father. There's also this unified address that we have. We call with one voice. You know, there's a beauty to that, highlighting the unity we have. Because you'll see a bit later where Jesus talks about if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Clearly, if there's something wrong between us and one another, there's an indication that something's not right between us and God, or between the other person and God, however that ends up working. Because the love that flows from God flows between us as well. There's an overflow of love that happens there that ought to make us think, what's going wrong if there are factions and fractures of relationship between us and one another? And so I love how this invites us in to calling God our Father. There's a beauty in that unity. Unity, beauty. you beauty. Just, yeah, there's a real depth and a breadth to that. And that's because in the same way that we are adopted in Christ, that it is a reality that we are children of God in Him, it is a reality that we are one in Christ. This isn't just a nice sort of like, you know, yeah, yeah, so like pleasantry or like flattery or something. This is a reality that we are one in Him, that we have been united to Jesus, that we have His Spirit living in us, that we have the same Father, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one in Him. And so when we call on our Father, we're doing what it makes perfect sense. He is our gracious, loving God, and we are His grateful children. And so we join together in calling upon Him as our Father. And then that's a challenge for us, isn't it? To not only say that in words, but to live in light of that reality. Like, it's easy to say the words, our Father. It's much harder to live out a reality of unity in Christ and loving one another dearly as we come to God. And again, we mentioned about having highly individualized worlds. Yeah, that shows how individualized it is. Yeah, we think having our own worlds. Anyway, I want us to consider the question, what would it look like for me, for us? Why am I doing this, Jared? It's ingrained, isn't it? This whole individualizing. What would it look like for us to walk with our Father together? Have a think about that in our lives, in our walk as a church, our families, at work, you know, in our social lives. What would it look like for us as a community to walk with our Father together? How would that change our views? How would that change our attitudes? How would that change our desires, our pursuits, what we're focused on? And then there's also a hopefulness in this, that all those who do receive Jesus and believe in His name, that they receive the right to become children of God, and therefore they too will be able to call upon God as their Father too, along with us. So there's a deep hope in this. Every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being bears dignity because of that. Not every human being is a child of God. And we want to see every human being become a child of God. And the way to that is the Lord Jesus coming and saving and bringing them to Himself. And so for us, as we pray our Father, let's feel the yearning and the longing that our fellow image bearers in this world would also join in that call. That we, along with many, many more people, may call upon God as our Father. When we think about the depth of relationship we have with God, it's truly astonishing. I encourage you this week, stop and reflect. Think about it. Let's talk to one another about it. Let's reflect on the reality that God has adopted us in Christ Jesus, and He's invited us to call Him Father because He really has made us His children. And let's reflect on the fact that that's not just for me, but that's actually for all of us in Christ. And what a joy and a privilege it is to encourage one another in that reality. So let's be shocked at the reality, and let's live in delight at our unity. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven, we praise You, Lord God. We thank You so much that You invite us in to relationship with You with such awesome depth. We thank You that we can say the seemingly audacious words, our Father, because You, Lord, have actually made us Your children, and You have called us to call You Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can address you as such because you've adopted us as such. We thank you that you graciously and lovingly protect us, provide for us, and discipline us. Help us, Lord, to have a humble heart and a heart of gratitude, ready to receive your correction and always grateful for your love and your mercy to us. Lord, we thank you so much that you are our Father and that there's a beautiful breadth to that, the unity we share in Christ Jesus as we call with one voice upon you, our Father, our loving Heavenly Father, who's done all things to bring us to himself, that you gave your only Son, Lord, to rescue us and to make us your children. You've poured out your Spirit, Lord God, and enabled us to call you Abba, Father. So, Lord, we join together in that cry and we praise your holy name. Amen.